This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Live from the dungeon.
Just when you thought it was safe to put on a podcast, the legend continues. Place to Be Nation presents Freak Out Drive-In with Jennifer Smith.
My weapon is large for bodies, I'm strapped for battle. My soul is in the crossroads and highs fulfilling. Somewhere deep inside the spirit to rise the killer. I'm too distant to talk, my vicious assault is inflicted in parts to slit you a stick in your heart. I got nothing to lose and nothing to gain. Only way I'm dying is up in flames.
Welcome to Freak Out Drive-In. I'm your host, Jennifer Smith. Doing something a little bit different tonight. I'm gonna go solo on this beginning part, kind of introduce you guys to the podcast and give you a little background. So, growing up, I always loved scary movies. I watched a show called Monster Vision with Joe Bob Briggs, and I always loved his style, his unique take on horror films. And recently, Shudder did a sort of a revival. They had Joe Bob on to do the last drive-in, where he hosted a marathon of horror movies, and I watched it. It was awesome. Highly recommend it. If you have Shudder, watch it. If you don't have Shudder, try it out. See if you like it, especially if you're a horror fan like me. So I thought, well, I'm just not doing enough in the way of podcasting, so how about I start a podcast and let's kind of make it an homage to Joe Bob. Of course, I will never be the host that he is, but, I just wanted that vibe. So I decided to do a live watch of a horror movie with a friend. So that's what I've got for you tonight. So every episode will be like this. It will be me solo talking to you, introducing you to the movie and to the guest. And then when it starts, it'll just start. So we don't have a lot of formalities. It's just a conversation with two friends watching a movie. And we encourage you to watch along with us. And we're not critiquing the movie per se, and we get into a little bit of movie trivia, but it's not meant to be particularly informative. It's mostly meant to be entertaining, which I feel like it is. So my first guest for the first movie is well known, of course, to Place to Be Nation, one of the co-founders, in fact, Mr. Scott Criscolo. And so what we decided to do was watch his favorite horror movie, which is Halloween, the original John Carpenter version of Halloween. So Scott was a lot of fun, and he, you know, talks about why he loves this movie, and we go off topic a little bit, as you do, but a fun conversation, a great classic horror movie, and so I hope you guys enjoy it and stick around for the next drive-in. Thanks for listening. All right, so so this is your favorite horror movie, is that right?
It is. To me, I don't think there's any doubt that this is the standard bearer for horror from here on out. I've always thought that. Now, obviously, there have been horror movies going back, to the 60s, actually to the 50s, if you count, old like Bela Lugosi and all, Boris Karloff. But and then the 60s, there's a lot of European. Obviously the 60s, you had Night of the Living Dead, mm-hmm. and as we see the title come up on the screen. iconic, and of course the music's iconic. We'll get a lot into that tonight. John Carpenter played it himself.
Right.
I feel like this is the standard bearer for horror from here on out. I've always said that. Like, there's pre-Halloween and post-Halloween. And I think that horror before this, I mean, you can go back to, and Jenny, we both have Shudder, and I know probably a lot of our listeners, your listeners, have Shudder. And there's a boatload of old school 60s, you know, Dario Argento and all that Italian horror movies, which had a lot of loud music and was really kind of gross and a lot of intestines and guts and shit everywhere. And I feel like John Carpenter here was like, I'm not going to do, in fact, we'll both point out the one time in this movie that you actually see a little bit of blood, and it's really not that identifiable, but that I think is one of the unique things that I truly love about this film, is that you don't see a lot of blood and guts. You know, this isn't Tom Savini when you go ahead to Friday the 13th. And actually, the first Friday the 13th, which I'm sure you'll do down the line, that one's not even that gory, relatively speaking, till you get later on into the 80s with the other Fridays. And then there's, you know, heads rolling and people, you know, Jason sliced a guy in half while he was on a handstand and stuff like that. Yeah, that kind of stuff you're not going to see here or even in the first Friday. That got later on when they realized that they thought that the stories were dull, so they needed to do a lot of goop. So here we go. We begin in 1963, Halloween night. I'm pretty sure we're even. I want to make sure.
Pretty
so
close.
We're both on the same page here.
Yeah, pretty close.
The house just came up on the screen.
Yeah.
So, all right. So there's the Myers house. How old were you when you first saw this movie?
Oh, man. It's so hard to determine that, because I always felt like it was just always around. Like, my family is huge into scary movies, and especially Halloween, and we would always have big parties, and it was always just a huge thing. So, my memories of this movie in particular, it's all kind of jumbled together because it was always just around. But watching it again recently, I'm struck by the simplicity of it. Just, like, even in the beginning part, like, how detached you feel from the beginning as you're, like, kind of from the killer's point of view here, and he's stalking through the house, and he's like circling the house, and it has a real kind of like menacing and simplistic feel to it, if that makes sense.
No, you make perfect sense, because I think that I think that's why this movie is so iconic, because of the simplicity. And the big thing here in this opening scene is that not often do you see an opening shot that's continuous. And here's the infamous moment. Right. The knife comes out of the drawer. Not often back in those days did you see one continuous shot. And I know, you know, seeing best, you know, like the special features on this Blu-ray, you know, John Carpenter did his best to try and keep this all one shot and not have to do it again. So your killer, who nobody knows who it is. All we saw was a hand, an arm, stalking the house.
I love long tracking shots. Like,
I do too.
I'm a total mark for that. And this guy, like, they just went upstairs, and like, this guy's already got off and leaving.
That's right.
You know,
boy, you're a schmuck.
She's like, call me.
He let a look back up, like,
no,
bitch.
He was done. Like, 10 seconds, he was done.
Probably should have killed him.
Yes, I was thinking that too earlier today. I was like, you missed your opportunity because that guy's an asshole.
So,
she seems all right about it. You know, she's.
Yeah, maybe she was, you know, maybe she was comfortable with a quickie. I don't know.
I guess so, apparently.
I guess so. So, that's an interesting, as we talk about that, it's very interesting you say that, because you know, this was also the first movie that would create the trope throughout the rest of the history of horror films of the sluts and the whores get killed and the virgins live.
Which, from what I understand, was like inadvertent. Like, I don't think he meant it to be that way. It's just kind of like they were all just kind of too busy getting laid. Like,
right.
Literally, that's why they got killed. It wasn't like a moral stance or anything.
Nope. And there it is.
Oh. She's just sitting there casually topless brushing her hair. As girls do.
What I find funny is the killer looks up at himself while he's stabbing her. He looks at his arm moving. Well, you know what's funny though? You say inadvertent, yet the killer, who we'll mention shortly because he's about to go down the stairs, looks down at the bed before he turns and kills her. So it's almost like, oh, you just kind of, boy, he threw it in you quick, huh?
It's more judgment on that guy.
Exactly.
Which he deserves.
No, of course. You know, when you're only gonna, you know, when you hit and run, literally.
Right.
And here we go. Our killer is an 8-year-old boy.
Unmask in the clown suit with a ginormous knife.
And that knife is gigantic. Oh, but again, when an 8-year-old's holding the knife.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. So there we go. That's how the saga begins. Michael, little Michael, 8 years old. And there we go.
So what about this movie makes it your favorite?
Because it's it's easy to watch. Mm-hmm. We now shoot ahead, by the way, 15 years. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to watch because it's a very easy story. It's very linear. Mm-hmm. I think I like the fact that except for a few veteran actors who we'll point out, you know, as we move on, almost all of them are unknowns. I think PJ Souls, who we'll see in a little bit, she was in like one movie before this. Jamie Lee Curtis, she was well known because her mom is a horror
Janet
icon.
Lee,
and her father is a icon, Tony Curtis.
Right.
But this is her first movie, and then everybody else like you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, in the car we see an icon of cinema, Donald Pleasance.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Bond villain. So he has that on his resume, and he's been in a bunch of other – he's been in some Disney movies as a bad guy. He's been in everything. But I think it was just the John Carpenter taking a risk. I guess Trankus Entertainment, who's the company obviously that – they were a distributorship. You know, they distributed movies, and they weren't making a lot of money on that, so they decided they wanted to actually make movies. So they went to John Carpenter and said, hey, we want to make a horror movie about a babysitter. And we'll obviously dictate that as we, you know, get into that as we move along. And but just something about the camera, the lighting, the music.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I saw this a few years later. I was only 5 when this came out. I saw it years later on. Actually, I saw it I saw it edited, I should say, on like I think it was NBC or whatever. Back in the day, it used to be on. It used to be on Halloween on the networks. And I remember seeing it going, wow, this is so cool. A horror movie that didn't have a lot of guts and blood and everything and the music. And it just fascinated me that and by this point I had seen the first like 3 or 4 Friday the 13th and I saw the first Nightmare. And this was just different, like late 70s. We weren't into that blood and guts yet. And it was fascinating how great a movie can be just based on really working at the movie part of it.
Mm-hmm. Like the
camera.
Like the, right, the psychology of it.
Exactly.
So do you not like gore?
Oh, I love gore.
Okay.
I love gore.
Me
too. But gore is easy.
Right. Well,
in some cases.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Depends on your point of view. It depends on the movie.
That's true.
Depends on the movie. I mean, think about it. We've looked – I mean, obviously – horror fans look ahead to the, you know, maybe Friday 13th, maybe 4 on. And by then they started to become a caricature, you know? And I think a lot of it was that it had to be, you had to catch up, you know, keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing where, well, this was great, for its time, and as you can see now, the Looney Tunes are running around aimlessly, and Michael jumps on top of the station wagon.
And even something as simple as his hand coming down and breaking the glass of the car is...
That's insane.
Right.
And then there he is. He hops
it in freaks you out. Like,
it does freak you out.
Yeah.
Yep. And then there goes the station wagon. But yeah, I mean, I love a good beheading or disemboweling as much as the next person. But it's absolutely. But there's movies where it's a good part in the middle of a film. It's a good killing. Then there's other movies where it's like, hey, here's somebody walking down the street and we're about to cut their intestines out, like just for the sake of the shits. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. Mm-hmm. Little trivia for you, Jenny.
Tell me.
Where did they come up with the name Haddonfield? Do you know?
I do not.
Okay. You'll know when you come to WrestleMania, because Haddonfield is actually where Deborah Hill, who was the producer of the film and John Carpenter's girlfriend at the time, that is where she's from, Haddonfield, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
So there is no Haddonfield, Illinois. It does not exist. Haddonfield is so when you're on the Jersey Turnpike, you will see signs that say Haddonfield, and I chuckle when I see it because that's cool.
That's
pretty neat.
If I am.
True, but that's on another. That's on another wrestling.
Right.
That's
yes.
on another podcast feed. But so here's our heroine. Here is our protagonist.
Right. Pretty nondescript, really, you know, sort
yep.
of nerdy, reserved.
Do you wear socks that high?
No. No, thank you.
What's funny is, too, is, I mean, they shot this in California, and it had to be the fall, but they shot it in the spring, so they all had to be, like, bundled up to pretend that it's the fall in the Midwest, but it was really like 88 degrees.
Right.
Could you imagine?
I read that they had to like paint leaves and stuff too and strew them around to look like fallen leaves.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Absolutely crazy.
Movie magic.
It is movie magic. Absolutely. Here comes Tommy, the little kid she babysits. But yeah, what happened was I can't remember his name now. But he wanted to do – the guy who owns Trankus Entertainment wanted to do a horror movie about a babysitter. And Mustafa Akkad, the guy whose name you see at the beginning – a lot of people thought he was very mysterious, but he was a producer like anybody else. He went to John Carpenter and said, can you make a horror movie about a babysitter? And when I was a kid – and I thought this was fascinating, and then I didn't realize till he does it with all of his movies, if you notice. He always puts John Carpenter's Halloween – or John Carpenter's The Thing, or mm-hmm. John Carpenter's Escape from New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing he doesn't ask for much, I guess, from people like producers and bosses and stuff at studios. He says, just give me creative money. You can pay me whatever you want. Just give me creative control, and I want my name in the title.
That's smart.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know? I like it too. So that's why it says John Carpenter's Halloween, which I always thought was funny because I've never seen that before, you know?
How annoying is this little kid? I mean, on a scale of, like, annoying little kids.
Well, he clearly has no backbone, as we'll see in a few moments.
Yeah.
There are really a lot of weak people in this movie, going back to 15 years earlier mm-hmm. when, you know, the erectile dysfunctional dropped and flew. There's Michael's shoulder. As, of course, he was in his family home, and now he's looking at Lori, wondering, do I know her?
Mm. What makes him focus on her, do you think?
Because maybe he came up to – well, we know the storyline by the second film, but at the moment, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, she put the key under the mat because I guess he's – now, I feel – now, her father is a real estate agent, and, I'm showing the Myers house today. The house is a piece of shit.
Yeah. Like, who's in contention to buy this house?
Really, there's like
nobody.
There's like, you know, storm drains that are hanging and all this stuff, and it's like ludicrous. Like,
yeah, and everybody, assumably, everybody in the town knows that the girl was killed in that house. So, like,
exactly.
You know, her father must be a terrible real estate agent.
Yeah, like I'm going to show this to a bunch of meth heads later, heroin addicts. I mean, you know, Oh my God! Look at the hair back then, Jenny.
Yeah.
Do you think you could? You feather your hair like that or flare it out back in the neck?
Probably not, no. I did have a bangs face when I was a teenager, but luckily I grew out of that. What I like about this scene when she's in class is the teacher talking about fate and destiny and the idea that destiny is real and it's a thing that every person has to deal with. And, you know, in a movie that's pretty simplistic, like we said, it works with the metaphor of like her life and what she has to end up dealing with. Like, this is her fate.
Right. And let me tell you something. She's a pretty damn good student because, you know, she looks out the window, sees this pasty faced guy glaring at her from across the street. The teacher tries to call her out. She turns around, bangs the answer out like there's no tomorrow, and then turns around and looks out the window again.
Yeah. I mean, she's a nerd straight up.
Oh, yeah, it through and through. All right, here's the scene we were about to clarify, that the kid is a complete putz.
Yes.
And wow, that's a very risque outfit for, like, a fifth grade. Did you see that? She had, like a cabaret outfit on, like, with leggings and very, very risque costume for a sixth grader or whatever. Look at this kid carrying the pumpkin that weighs more than he does. I'd kick the shit out of him, too.
Oh my God. I would definitely bully this kid. What the hell? The boogeyman is coming.
No, he's not. We get candy. Oh, God. The grip kid.
Don't you know what happens on Halloween? Yeah, we get candy, he says, like an idiot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, and then your pumpkin gets squished.
Oh, no. Why am I sadly reminded of my kid?
Oh. Michael Myers outside your window?
Yeah. Like, that's what I love about this. Like, he's just allowed to just creep around the schoolyard.
I know, right? If this was now, forget it.
Yeah, no.
You're, like, tossed by,
oh,
you know.
Definitely somebody's calling the cops on this guy. With this
where is everybody?
With this collar popped up like that? No, definitely. That's stranger danger.
Yes.
You're going to the lockup. Sorry. But the cops in this town fucking are hilarious, because he thinks everything that ever happens in this town is because of some kids playing a prank. Like, no real crime ever happens. It's never a thing. It's always some joke. I'm like, how clueless can you be? And then I realize that that's such a prototype of horror movies going forward, because nobody ever takes it seriously from here on out. It's never taken seriously.
Nope.
And even,
now, here's an interesting...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was about to say, an interesting point that just popped into my head is he was in an insane asylum for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell taught him to drive?
Ooh, that is a good point.
Right? Isn't that weird?
Hmm.
Very strange. And now Dr. Loomis is on the phone. In his, look at that old school BMW. That's kicking
nice.
It old school right
yeah,
there.
It is. And look at that, much less the telephone booth.
I know, really? In the middle of nowhere.
In nowhere.
Telephone booth in a cornfield. Seriously?
And he's just like pleading with somebody to believe him. Nobody does.
It's a white phone, too. I never saw that back in the day.
His role in this is so subtle, really. The lone voice of reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's just not used very much. He's in very few. I think I read like 5 days of filming that he actually does.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Yeah, it's insane. But I think it works. Like, I think it works to like inform you of the danger, but not take away from anything that Jamie Lee kind of does later on, I think, maybe.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. No, good point. Incidentally, I'm sorry, there's two points where you see a hint of blood. You just saw blood on the dead guy in the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually a little bit of blood there, but you don't even know what it is. It's almost just like a smear, but you will see blood one more time. So there is the aforementioned PJ Souls. with Laurie there. She was in a movie. This was her second movie, actually, if I remember correctly. There was a movie she was in called Rock and Roll High School, which was actually about the Ramones, tremendous band. Mm-hmm. And this was her second. This was her second movie. So, here comes Annie. By the way, which is funny, since her real last name is Loomis, which is Donald Pleasance's last name, his character's last name.
Right, and it reminded me...
I think John Carpenter likes to be weird like that.
Yeah, and it reminded me of Billy Loomis from Scream, sort of the...
Yes.
Yeah, kind of callback to that. And I think this Absolutely. Annie chick is the one in the movie that I identify with the most.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, she's a little bit of... she's a little bit of a smartass.
She's a big smartass.
Yeah. Yes. And she's...
And the same hair color.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm going to identify with the brunettes. But she's like... She's observant of the car that starts following them. And she mm-hmm. yells at the car that starts following them. And... He's just not being subtle at all at this point.
No.
Not at all. It's kind of odd, though, from a movie where the rest of the time he's, like, lurking in the background. Now he's just,
right.
like, obviously following her around.
Right. It's funny, right? Because I think the other thing that makes it so menacing, again, another thing, another aspect of the brilliance of John Carpenter, is that he's doing this in plain daylight. Mm-hmm. Like, when do you ever see a creepy guy in the, like, a movie that's referred to a lot in the early 70s in terms of great horror is a movie called Black Christmas, which actually was remade, oh, I don't know, probably 10 years ago, maybe. The original was in, like, I don't know, 70, I think, or something. And, again, that was another one that had a lot of camera angles and... music, and it was all that was the terror, was the camera shooting and the lighting and that kind of thing. And here was a guy you never even saw. You saw his eyes mm-hmm. hidden in an attic, mm-hmm. you know, right in the house. And now here you go a few years later, and John Carpenter has your killer literally in the middle of the day stalking prey. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. Like, you know, you only think of murderers and serial killers hiding out in the darkness behind bushes, buildings, alleys in the dark. And here he is pretty much scoping the neighborhood. Like in 2018, that would never happen. This
no,
guy would be on like an Amber Alert or whatever.
Exactly. You know, yeah. Too many people would just be like, nope. Nope.
Yeah. Not happening. kind of nuts. Yeah. And I think that's the genius of John Carpenter. And I know there's a myriad of, and there he is. Now yeah. Where did he go? How fast was that? Where'd he park? And all of a sudden, there he is in the shrubs. He's amazing.
It is amazing. And that is so creepy. Because
really
she
is,
definitely
right?
saw him. Like, she definitely did.
Right.
I just wonder what about her makes him, you know, automatically... just
attracted to her.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the only connection he had was she put the key under the
right,
under the mat.
Right.
You know, for the meth heads to
and then
to,
Annie,
to view the house later.
She gives no fuck. She's just like, whatever. No, look, nothing. You're a dumbass. This is me. I'm Annie in this movie.
Oh, God.
Poor
Would Miranda
Laurie.
Be Laurie?
I don't know. Maybe so.
Okay.
I could definitely see me dying and Miranda living in a horror movie. Like, for sure.
Oh, God.
Especially the way that Annie dies, because it's a little bit auto-erotica, like, sort of thing. Like, literally,
yeah.
She's in the car later. But anyway.
She's in the car in her underwear.
Right?
You know?
Because she made a huge mess on herself earlier because she's a big klutz.
She was in a rush to get laid.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So, you know.
I am this chick.
Priority. Now, Lori bumps into Chief Sheriff Brackett.
Right.
Played by Charles Cyphers. That's actually Annie's dad. Now, your dad is not a cop, is he?
I don't know. I don't know my dad, so oh. I seriously doubt it. So
right.
Yeah.
So now, what kind of life would you have if your dad, you know, could you imagine if you were the promiscuous one and your dad was a cop? I mean, good grief.
Well,
a tough life.
Yeah.
Clearly, Andy doesn't give a shit.
No,
so.
Like, I find that preachers' daughters and cops' daughters tend to be wild as youngsters.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Because the defiance of it all, you know, when you're a teenager, you want to be the opposite of what your parents are. So I think they're probably the wildest ones. Actually, Miranda's dad was a cop. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have an interesting question here. When the hell did it rain?
That is a good question. Yeah, I just saw all the puddles there. It looks very green for fall.
Yeah, but I mean, like the sky was, or the, you know, everything was dry and the sun was out and everything, and then all of a sudden she looks and the driveway's wet and the street's wet.
And then
this is the creepiest.
Yeah, that is
hiding
so creepy.
That he's suddenly hiding in the laundry.
Does anybody hang
Again,
out their laundry
the
anymore?
Camp.
Do people still dry their
I don't
laundry
think so.
That way? I don't think so either.
I don't think so. No, I had a clothesline. Oh, my mom definitely. We definitely had a clothesline.
Yeah,
my
mom did too. But I was not doing that crap. No way.
Nah. That's a cool globe. It's black. It's got a neat globe. Just realize that. That's like an unusual looking globe. So she just got a crank call.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the crank call was Annie, who was chewing. So. Would that be you?
Yes. That would be me. I would do that.
Except it's the glug glug.
She
of
says, "I have my mouth full. You couldn't hear me." Yep, still me.
Oh God, the things we're learning this evening.
I know, right?
What a magical debut.
That looks like a poster of Scott Criscolo on the wall there. Who's that?
Well, because I have awesome hats, and I do have a lush mustache and beard combo, so
that's what it
goddamn
is.
Right. I would. I'm on Miranda's wall. Oh, God.
And she's just emo about it. She's just like, I've been seeing shit all day. It's Halloween. I'm lonely. I gotta go babysit this fucking brat. Like, my life sucks right now.
I know.
Like, I feel bad for her at this point.
Yeah.
But that's what, that's what makes her the heroine, I guess.
Yep.
Because, you know, you have to kind of set them up for their heroic moments.
What do you think of the bell-bottom jeans? Pretty badass.
She rocks
them.
Yeah, she's got the height and the boots. Yeah, she looks good.
Yeah, fantastic. What do you think of these women's fashions so far as we're looking through the late 70s?
It's pretty moderate, you know.
Right?
It's pretty. I think it looks fairly suburban, not anything too risque.
Here's another question. I don't know what time it is. Again, looking at semantics here, but it's supposed to be Haddonfield, Illinois on Halloween. Mm-hmm. I don't know what time this is. Maybe it's like, I mean, maybe it's 5.
She just got out of school.
Or 6 o'clock at night.
Right. They walked home.
And, right.
Now,
and it's still light out?
Yeah. That seems... Well, maybe not in October, though.
You know? Jenny, I could see you totally rocking a Monte Carlo. Now I actually want to see you drive.
Yeah.
I want to actually see you drive a Monte Carlo.
Plus, she pulls out a joint. That's me. I'm sorry.
Look at that, huh?
What
the hell is she rolling with? Why is it yellow?
70s papers.
That's right.
I don't
70s
know.
Easy Widers, huh?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. 70s Widers.
So, old dude is still trying to... figure out what Michael's plan is, although you would think that he would know, right?
Yeah, you would think something. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they're going to the cemetery at the first place.
I wonder
I
that
find
as
that
well.
Perplexing.
It's odd.
It was very odd. Like, what clue does Dr. Loomis have to go to the cemetery? Like, what's the cemetery have to do with anything?
Right, like, what are you checking on at the cemetery?
That he's there?
Right.
Hanging out?
Yeah.
You know? Wow, it's a very creepy cemetery, though.
It is.
I don't know if a cemetery is this creepy. Like, I mean, there's cemeteries where there's trees and stuff, but this one is like, I mean, I've never seen so many trees in my life in a cemetery. It's like, my God.
I guess it's really for the exposition here. And then to blame goddamn kids again, because kids are the only one who does crime in this town.
But how many fucking kids would have to pull the...
That's what I'm saying. Like, why is every crime blamed on these poor children?
Yeah, and how many kids could pull a tombstone out of the fucking ground?
Right, so what are they doing?
What are they, Metas? what is this, The Flash?
Seriously.
Wow, being pulled out of the ground? I mean, come on.
And I love Jamie Lee's. I love Jamie Lee's face as she's like taking the hit off the joint, like, oh my God, no. Like, she can't even. Like, and she just passes it off. Like, she's faking her hit just to pass it back off. And Annie's a pro.
Look at her. She's smoking it so relaxed.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
She's smoking it so relaxed, and Jamie's trying to, like, do the whole thing in one big puff.
Yeah, yeah. She's such a nerd.
But passing it, and she's doing it. And,
but see, that's the confidence that Annie can have, having a cop for a dad. Like, what the fuck ever? I can ride around smoking a joint. My dad's a cop. Whatever. I'll get out of it.
Poor Jamie. Poor Lori.
Yeah.
That's all right.
But then they have to put the joint out real quick because she sees her dad.
I really want to see you drive a Monte Carlo now.
I would rock that shit. I don't know. You would. Is it a standard or is it automatic?
Oh, I'm sure it's automatic.
Okay, good.
Well, now they're automatic. Okay. Well, yeah. You know what's funny? My oldest brother had one similar to this, almost the same color, and it was an automatic. So, yeah, that's an automatic. You can see the stick on the right next to the wheel there.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, I can definitely drive that.
Okay. So the sheriff there, the Annie's dad, says that a couple of knives, a rope, and a mask were taken from the hardware store here.
The kids.
Incidentally.
The kids did
kids,
all that.
Yeah. Fucking kids. Why would kids take knives? I mean, and why would you be so laissez-faire about kids stealing knives? A couple knives were stolen. Yeah, whatever.
It's like he lives in a town.
I mean, really?
Like somebody literally killed their sister with a knife.
They don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. You know? Oh, and here he comes. That's. So the interesting thing is, oh, there he is. Hey, how are you? There you go, driving by. How is he that much? He's been sitting in an insane asylum for 15 years, and how is he clearly smarter than everybody else? It's like ridiculous, right? How is he this much smarter? It's outrageous. Now the sun's starting to go down. Boy, that was quick.
Yep.
Now the sun is setting. It's so not Illinois.
No,
I mean, seriously,
really
the more
not.
You look at it, you're like, this is so California. Yeah.
I think I saw a palm tree earlier.
Yeah. I know in the special features of this Blu-ray, they talked about that. Like, we did. It was so hard during the daytime. Like, the night shots, obviously, you don't have to care. But in the daytime, trying to avoid shooting palm trees and take into account that it's lighter out because they were shooting in the spring mm-hmm. instead of the fall and that kind of thing. And, yeah, no, it was a struggle to try and make this as Midwest as possible in the fall rather than, you know, California in the spring. And there he is again. Well, he caught up, huh?
Right on the tail. I love how Annie's teasing her about liking the boy and like, hey, you know, you should just like ask him to the dance. And like, you know, why are you being such a nerd about it? Just.
I know, really.
Yeah. And then now all of a sudden it's full dark.
Would they drive to fucking Utah? My God. Oh, John. John be like, you fucking asshole. I mean, my God. Where does she live? Minnesota?
How long were you driving for? Jesus. How much weed did you smoke when you were riding?
I know, yeah. Maybe they still think it's daytime. But we still think. Oh my God. And there's the Monte Carlo Park. So they're across the street from each other. Lori's babysitting the little turd kid. And Annie's actually babysitting kind of the smarter, wise ass. Kind of fits. Like if you were babysitting a little girl,
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, she was like, whatever.
Babysitting little girl, you.
Yeah, she was like, I'm going to put on the Scary Movie channel and this bitch is going to watch it with me. I don't give a fuck.
And meanwhile, I'm hiding in the drapes.
The boogeyman's going to get me. Which he does.
What a loser. Yeah.
Poor kid. He'll never be the same.
So there he is, and he's sitting there, standing behind the tree. Now, he was into Lori at first. Mm-hmm. So now we're just curious, like, what his deal is now. Is he just here to just do his thing? Is he, is he attracted to them sexually? Is there some type of erotic thing? You mentioned erotica before. Maybe that's what he's doing here. Mm-hmm. I mean, hiding in the trees, wanting to have sex with all of these teenage women that he's stalking in the bushes. You know,
that
maybe.
Makes sense to me. I mean,
I know, right? I mean, come on. Here's the crack house that Lori's dad was trying to sell. I mean, seriously, who wants to buy this house? Look at it. Jesus. Look at the inside. The door's broken. Who the hell would buy this?
Everybody knows somebody got murdered in that house. Come on.
I bet you the blood stain's probably still on the floor. Yeah. I mean, I just find it. I'm having some people over to look. I mean, he says it so, like, matter-of-fact serious. Like, I'm having some people over to look at the Myers house. Really? Like, who?
Out-of-towners, obviously.
Yeah. Really? What, are they going to open a strip mall or, you know, a hookah? I mean, come on. But, so they're scooping the house, wondering.
Oh, the cop blames it on a skunk.
He didn't blame it on kids?
Loomis looks at him like, what a fucking moron are you? A skunk. Come on.
Oh,
how
my God.
How clueless are you?
Really? This was not John Carpenter's first film. I'm actually going to check trusty old Wikipedia and see. Let me see what his first. I know he did. There was a movie called. He's still alive, by the way. He's 70.
Is he? Wow.
70 years old. He was born in Carthage, New York. I don't even know where that is. It must be upstate. So let me take a look here and see. Let's see. The first film he did. As a director, was called Dark Star, which was in 1974. Then he did a very well-known film called Assault on Precinct 13, which came out in 76. So this was his third film in 1978. So, threw something through the window.
Oh, those pesky fucking kids again.
Kids. What's the next horror movie? Corral all of Haddonfield's children? Oh, wait. That's Children of the Corn. Never mind.
Oh, that already another happened. Great movie. By the way.
Oh, another tremendous movie. Yes, absolutely.
Love that. God damn, it is so creepy.
It is. Yes. Well, because you had that kid Isaac who was like a 45-year-old and it was like a 60-year-old in a 9-year-old's body.
Oh, my God. That movie creeps me out.
It does. Now, Dr. Loomis is telling the sheriff the story of Michael Myers. And did he point to his eyes yet?
Not yet.
Behind those eyes, the blackest eyes. The devil.
Pale, emotionless face.
Face. And the darkest eyes.
The devil's eyes.
Devil's eyes. Yep. I mean, you got to give John Carpenter credit for actually being able to get Donald Pleasance. I'm sure he was the most expensive of those.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, but you needed to have some foundation for this, because if it was all unknowns, this movie would have gone nowhere. Mm-hmm. So, smart to do that. He did a TV movie about Elvis in 1979. Fascinating. Did not know that.
Hmm.
That's kind of a change of pace from Halloween. Well, if you looked at Elvis in 77, 90 before, he probably could have been in a horror movie. My God. You'll see, and of course, looking a lot of John Carpenter's movies further down the line, The Fog, which comes out a couple years later, also with he uses the same. He has that comfort zone. Like a lot of directors are like that. Even in today, are comfortable with actors and they work well together. And you'll see. Obviously, you see him with Jamie Lee Curtis again. Mm-hmm. You'll see him with Charles Cyphers, who plays the sheriff. Nancy Loomis, who plays your girl Annie. Mm-hmm. Uses her. She's in The Fog. In mm-hmm. fact, all three of them are, actually. What are your thoughts on some of these remakes? Like, we could go into a whole tirade. I don't want to ruin this wonderful podcast by talking about Rob Zombie's piece of shit that he made for this movie.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, everybody's going to remake everything that was moderately successful or good in the past. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm a mark for things that are, like, amusingly bad or, like, entertainingly bad. So, I'm okay with it. Like, it's fine with me.
Some of them just – I can understand refreshing certain things. Now, of course, there's a new Halloween
right.
Carpenter's doing that's coming out in a couple of months. It's actually a new Halloween 3, I guess.
Is it 3 or is it 2?
Is it a new 2? I think it's a new 2.
From what I read, it kind of dismisses everything that's happened since a certain point. Is that right? Yeah.
As far as I know, like, I thought that he was redoing 3, but apparently the Halloween that's coming out October 19th is immediately after this.
Which I think is fascinating, actually.
It is, because I thought the Halloween 2, the original Halloween 2, which would come out in 1981, was actually really good.
Right. Yeah, it was actually really good.
It was exceptional. And then, of course, the other Halloweens. We'll get. I'm curious your thoughts on the series as a whole, because I think there's other great Halloweens that we could do down the line mm-hmm. that I think would be a great, particularly Halloween 3.
Right.
We'll get into that later.
Right.
What do you think of? What do you think of all of these houses? It seems like a very rich town, or maybe it's old money. Like, all the houses are huge. Like, there's no, like, you know.
Well, that seems like a very Midwestern thing to me. Like, you know, I'm from the South, so, like, a two-story house is sort of a novelty for me anyway. So,
right.
But, you know, a tree-lined street with two-story houses is very, very Midwestern to me. So it seems
now, question,
pretty...
Would this be you stripping naked in the kitchen here? Would this
Definitely,
be you?
Definitely, yeah. Like
anyone?
She was making dinner, and then, like, she got stuff all over her, and then, like, oh, yeah, let me take my clothes off in the kitchen. That seemed normal.
Right? Mm-hmm. Just panties near
the
door kind of
yeah.
thing?
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, who's around? Like, nobody cares.
That's true. It's just fascinating. Hey, oh, wow, I just – yeah, okay, whatever. There's children in the house. That's even better. What if the kid? What if the girl walks in? Well, I guess it's girl. I guess it's.
You know, it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Now here's one part of the film that I know a lot of people that I've talked to fans were a little upset about.
The dog killing.
Yeah, like why did he have to kill the dog?
The shock factor has got to be right. Like, just to make you hate him more?
Part of me agrees with you on that. I think you might be right. And it actually didn't show him dying.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just, like, put him asleep or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's not what happened. But no. Sure, I mean,
no,
you could think that if you want.
Yeah. But, I mean, I know that was a big controversy at the time that he, you know. But then they put the things at the end of the... Now, here's interesting dichotomy here. The Thing is the movie that they're watching. And then, of course, I think 4 years later, John Carpenter would remake it. Now, that I understand. We were just talking about remakes.
Mm-hmm.
A movie in the 50s being remade in the 80s, that I can understand because film has advanced
mm-hmm.
and, you know, movies have changed in terms of the way they're shot and everything. The way movies are shot really hasn't changed a whole hell of a lot. So I just never understood why Rob Zombie had to remake this when movies really didn't change as much. Whereas John Carpenter took a 19, I don't even know when the first thing came out,
You don't think there was enough change between the 70s and the 90s?
Well, no, that came out. Halloween, Rob Zombies came out in 03?
Well, so later. I mean, like.
Was it 03? 07? The worst thing that he did in that was he gave. Look, here's the thing. John Carpenter called Michael Myers the Shape.
Uh-huh.
That's who he was. He was the Shape. Emotionless face. Fast forward to 2007 is when his Halloween came out, and suddenly Michael Myers' mom is a whore or a stripper, and the father's and just all this shit. Why? Why did you have to pull the curtain? I didn't get it. Now you're making him sympathetic. He's not supposed to be sympathetic. He's a killer.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but I do have a thing for being sympathetic for
that was my
for a villain.
Really?
Yeah.
Sympathetic.
Yeah, like even in. You know, fiction or comic books or whatever. Like, I think if you have a sympathetic villain, it adds to their pathos. Like, you can, it makes it even more shocking with their actions. If that makes sense. If you can identify with that part of them.
In some cases, I do agree with you. I don't think it was meant to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think in this specific case it was supposed to happen. Michael Myers was just supposed to be the Shape. And now you've given him, oh, but it's okay that he kills everyone because his mom was a stripper. Like, I don't think – I agree with you about the that in certain cases you look at – there needs to be sympathy from the backstory and – and you can look it deep into the soul of the character.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think John Carpenter meant for Michael Myers to be that kind of character.
Right.
I think he was always supposed to be the faceless Shape.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never supposed to figure out the deal. And
it was just meant to be evil, what you mean. Simplest explanation is that he was just evil.
Right.
There's no reason or rhyme for his crimes.
Now, on the other side of the coin, Jason Voorhees,
right?
His backstory was he drowned. He was, I would assume, mentally challenged.
Mm-hmm.
Drowned while all the counselors apparently were having an orgy. and the mom killed all the porn star, the horny kids.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know, the mom died and the whole thing after that.
Right.
So Bill Cunningham, the creator of Friday the 13th, gave a story off the bat. And that's fine because he gave it off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did like the remake of Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. I did like that remake. And I actually loved – I can't believe I'm saying this because I love Robert Englund. But I did love the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. I did like that remake.
I did too.
Yeah, they were both very good.
Yep.
Because after a while, and I'm obviously you'll do Nightmare on Elm Street eventually.
Yes.
Freddy was almost like there. I think a part of the movies in the middle, Freddy was too funny.
Funny.
And I think Jackie Earle Haley, who by the way was what's his name, Kelly Leak on Bad News Bears. Amazing. He goes from a little league player to a serial killer. his Freddy. Was the Freddy I think that was meant to be. And I think after a while, Robert Englund just turned to a stand-up comedian who happened to kill people in their dreams.
I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. Like, from my childhood, Freddy is definitely higher up in my memories than even Michael Myers was. Like, as much as Michael Myers was around, Freddy was definitely a scarier one. because I have a brother and I have four boy cousins, so I was the only girl growing up. So they made it their life's mission to torture me by scaring me whenever they could, and Freddie was definitely a part of that.
Okay.
Mission, especially around Halloween time. But I loved it. Like I was in it. So they didn't actually scare me because I thought it was fun.
Oh, there he is. And again, camera angles all over this movie. Like every time Annie's on the phone, his head's in the window, his head's here, his head's there. Just master camera work, master camera
work. Did she ever actually take this kid out?
She was very excited to hang out.
Like, this kid's been home all night long. He never went out to get candy.
And
she's in a shirt. Nope. She just shows up like, okay, here's this kid, and I'm wearing a shirt and a blanket.
Yep. You know, watch these kids. I'm going to get some, you know.
Yeah.
Feed the hunger. Going to feed the hunger. Now, Lindsay was very excited to go see Tommy, so maybe she's got a thing for spineless nerds. You never know.
She probably does.
Ooh, there was an interesting. Did you see that?
Where she fed her the popcorn.
Yeah, interesting.
But she was trying to hook her up with this Ben guy, right?
Ben Tramer.
Yeah.
So lonely, so sad.
But that's a good friend, right? Like, Lori is a good friend. Like, bring your kid over, and you go get laid, and I'll watch the kid. That's fine. You know, the old Girl Scout comes through again.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think those drapes.
I would definitely be the friend taking advantage of that situation. That is definitely something I would have done as a teenager. But she gets her come up it, so yes.
Now, the car's locked.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting here. She walks back across. Again, long socks. I'm telling you, Jenny.
What is up with these stupid socks?
I don't know. Maybe
that was
the 70s thing.
Well, she's not wearing any pants, so
that's true.
She has to wear socks.
I mean, she's literally walking around in her underwear.
Right, she is.
It's ludicrous.
Her underwear, long socks, a big shirt, and a blanket is her outfit of the night. This girl is a fucking train wreck, right?
She really is. Oh, maybe she wants, you know, the less to wear, the less to
take off later. Yeah, that's gotta
exactly.
be it.
Yeah. You know, she's trying to be convenient. Is that like a digital calendar on the now? I'm curious as to how Michael Myers actually unlocked the door without breaking anything.
I wondered about that too when I watched this earlier.
Right? That odd.
Well, since he knows how to drive, then I guess he knows how to pick a lock. So then he goes, he attacks her from the back seat and just starts strangling her right away. And she kind of seems into it at first. Is that just me?
Maybe. I think so. Maybe he likes long socks. No?
She's like, oh, wait, we're not kidding. You're really choking me. With
and,
one hand, too. That's impressive. Her face. Like, she goes cross-eyed as she dies.
I know the cross-eyed is funny. I just caught that now. That was cool. I never noticed the cross-eyed till just now. All right, so actually, that scene, there is no blood. So I was wrong.
Right,
so there is only one scene with blood. I thought you saw her throat, but you don't see her throat there. It's the red from the dashboard. Mm-hmm. So really, the only blood you see in the movie is the guy in the bushes earlier, the auto mechanic guy who he whacked for that swank jumpsuit.
So weird.
What do you think of the swank jumpsuit? Yeah,
I like.
Do you think the auto mechanic pops the collar like Michael does?
Yeah, maybe that's where he got it from. It's
maybe.
Like I gotta blend in. Let me pop this collar.
This one. Oh, look at him. I'm going to be cool. Look at him with his cool sweat. Is he an astronaut?
I can't decide what he's dressed as.
Karate or something?
I don't know.
Weird.
And then the girl acts like, where did you go? I didn't see you get up. But this kid, like, is simultaneously the only one that ever sees him and, like, also is the most annoying.
How do you open the door? Oh, he did it with his foot. I was just curious at how he opened the door, but he kicked it. He kicked the door.
I'm trying to see what his patches say. I can't see it.
I think it says NASA. I think he's an astronaut.
It? Well, then I have newfound respect for him then. I'm kind of a nerd for NASA. She's a very good babysitter. She's very committed
to the kids.
She's
a tremendous babysitter. Yeah, she really is.
Although she doesn't believe a damn word that they say.
Nope.
Other than
stupid
that,
fucking kids again.
Right. Other than that, she later on, she really does try to protect them the most.
That's right. So now they're watching the movie. And there we go. That's the original thing. Oh, there's the fine piece of real estate in this shitty fucking town.
And Loomis lurking in the bushes, hoping that he'll just come by.
Why is everybody in the bushes? Oh, rotten fucking kids again.
The kids are the ultimate bad guys in this. I mean, fuck Michael Myers. It's those pesky kids that do all this.
Is this an indictment of like youth in the late 70s?
It is. It's got to be, right?
Right. I mean, these kids are probably, again, I was 5 when this came out, so these kids are probably 3 or 4 years older than me, but man, Haddonfield kids, little fucks, you know? Jesus.
So when did you first watch this?
I first watched it probably in like 84, 85 when I was like maybe 11. I saw it on like, because it was on, I'm pretty
and
sure
I
was it was
like
on NBC.
Two. All right.
Yeah. shock. Yeah, I would say that I was probably like 11. It was definitely on NBC like every Halloween for about probably 8 years. So, and it's actually a different version. Same thing with WrestleMania, listen to me. Halloween 2. You know I was going to do that eventually. Halloween 2 actually has 2 versions. There's the theatrical version, and then there's the broadcast version that's actually like 20 minutes longer, even though they cut the nudity out. There's no nudity in this. Well, no, there might
there's
be a little
a couple.
Bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had the tits earlier, and then I think later.
Oh, yeah. There is later. Yes, there were tits earlier. There's definitely tits in the second one, and they cut the tits out, obviously, for the broadcast version, but then they add 20 minutes of the movie that's not in the theatrical version. So on the box set I have, the second Blu-ray has both versions. But yeah, I saw this. I had seen the first. You're right about in terms of the Holy Trinity of horror. I actually saw Michael Myers last. I saw Freddy first, actually. Mm-hmm. I saw the first Nightmare first. I actually saw that in the movies. I went with my brother. I was 11, and I got to go to an R-rated movie. It was pretty neat.
Nice.
And then I saw the first Friday, and then I saw this. So I actually saw I'm like you. I saw Michael Myers last. All right, so here's the third of the
sluts.
Of the sluts. yeah, the slut.
She might be like sluttier than Annie, I think, perhaps.
Yeah, but she's like giggly slutty.
Right, but Annie's... you see her actually have sex later. Like, legit.
That is true.
Yeah.
But yeah, Linda's like the you know, cheerleader, popular
right,
girl.
Yeah,
thing.
The bubbly one.
Annie's like the kind of level-headed yet mysterious,
sarcastic, bitchy
slutty,
one.
Smart-ass kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you got Lori, who's the nerd.
Yeah, right.
But the pretty nerd. Of course, they're drinking.
Of course.
Budweiser, which is the only beer that you can feel out in movies back then. Good old Bud. Bud was a microbrew in 1978. Right. Everybody else was drinking Schlitz and Peels. And what do you think of Bob's glasses? Aren't those
I was gonna say
ever?
Those glasses are just ugh. Oh, they're so 70s. But you know, Linda, she seems to dig them.
Yeah, really, right? Look at this. We're not even gonna make it to the fucking stairs. Here we go. Bob's like, no way, I'm planting this now. And there he is. Oh, look at this. More consensual teenage sex, even though Bob looks like he's 29.
I think that Jamie Lee Curtis was the only actual teenager. Is that right? I think she was the youngest of the three.
I'm going to look now. Now, all right, she was born in November of 58. So she was 20. Or yeah. No, she was 19.
19, yeah.
She was 19.
Legit teenager at the very end.
Yes. PJ Souls was, she was born in 50. She was 18.
Oh, okay.
She was 18. And Nancy, the actress who played Annie, your girl there, she was born in 49. So she was, holy shit, she was, wait, did I do the math right? She was 29.
Was she?
No, it says she was born December 49. Nancy Loomis, yeah. So she was, yeah, she was born in 49.
Well, she looks damn good for fucking 29.
Yeah. Wait, she was born in, wait, when was Lori born? Hold on.
Math
I gotta
hard.
Do the math again. Math is hard when you've had this much beer in you. She was born July 17th, 1950. So she was 28. PJ Souls here. So Jamie Lee Curtis was born in 58. So she's the youngest of the three.
Right.
So she, believe it or not, you're right. She was the only legitimate teenager mm-hmm. of the three. Wow, she was 29. And Nancy and Annie
That's
was supposed
amazing.
To be 18.
See, now here's the legit sex scene. Yep. And there's a jack-o'-lantern beside the bed, which I think is hilarious.
I don't really think it is too. Like that's just kind of a that's kind of arbitrary. You think Bob has his glasses on while he's doing this?
Let me see. Nope. Glasses off.
Glasses off. All right. Now let's talk about time again. How long in real time do you think it was between when they first went upstairs? Do you think she was like old Quick Draw McGraw there in the beginning?
I don't know. It seems like they had been kind of fooling around for a while.
Okay. So all right. So Bob might be like, oh, Bob's double barreled. Interesting. All right. Well, definitely not the other guy. That's for sure.
That creepy Jack Leonard face is not throwing him off at all.
I know, right?
He might
no
be
way.
Getting off on it.
You're gonna getting off on it. Somebody else is enjoying what's going on in the room. I'm telling you, you know, we're opening our eyes to new things here, watching this. Because now I'm like, wow. Speaking of things that are quite frightening, here in the northern part of the country, there literally was a bolt of lightning and
oh, shit.
Thunder.
Is that right what that was?
That's what it was. Like, that was not the movie. So how about that? Michael Myers is telling me, fuck you, and I'm watching you, fuck. Asshole. Okay.
Well, you know, he gets his, he rolls over, he puts on the glasses, and then she lights a cigarette, so... She seems all right with how things went down.
Yeah, no, she seems quite thrilled. Bob's mm-hmm. got the glasses back mm-hmm. on, so don't get dressed. Bob's a marathon man. So we think Michael Myers is partially kind of a voyeur then, huh?
It's got to be, right? I mean, because his sister had just gotten laid when he killed her. So all of his murderous pathos seems to be wrapped up in this sexual activity. But like how do you develop like that as a 6-year-old? Like why is that your
Good
motivation
point.
As a 6-year-old? That doesn't really make any sense because you're not sexual at 6 unless you just see it as being wrong, I guess. Like, my sister's a slut, and I'm going to kill her?
I know, right?
Or, I guess, as John Carpenter kind of, like, meant it to be, he's just evil. Like, none of the sex stuff really mattered to Carpenter. It was just about him being evil.
Right.
And
Bob's pretty, and Bob's like in pretty good shape too. Bob's
yeah,
like ripped.
Yeah. He fights Michael pretty Myers, hard.
He actually kind of does. Well, now he comes out of the closet and, well.
Maybe. It's creepy the way he lifts him up off of his feet there with all that strength.
It is.
Giant knife. Lets him see it.
Giant knife.
And then stabs him.
I know, right? How sick is that?
It's fucked up.
That is
no
fucked
blood.
Up.
No blood, though.
No blood. And he has no shirt on. You would think he's just, you would think shit be dripping on the floor
right,
and everything.
Yeah. At least a couple of drips there.
And then there's the infamous, which we'll see for many years to come, the Michael Myers head cock.
Yeah, I love it. It's
dogs
so
do that.
Creepy.
I've noticed. Yeah. I noticed dogs do that.
It's like he's just contemplating, you know.
He's like, you got to fuck that hot chick up.
Is that what he's thinking?
That's what he's thinking. That's why he killed him, son of a bitch. And you know what? I'm putting your fucking glasses on, too.
And I love how she goes with this little ghost bit. And kind of cheeky really? On Michael's part, too, right?
I know, right?
To throw the sheet over and put the glasses on. Like, that's a little bit of comedy on his part. And then she shows him her boobs.
Exceptional. Hey, you know, see? Now, he could have just walked in and killed her, but instead he was pretending to be Bob.
Right.
Right? Not bad. Pretending to be Bob. So.
She has no idea.
But yeah, it's like. Nope. Utterly clueless.
I really like this. I really like this scene.
Yeah?
It just feels like really creepy and weird and like real in a way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, I do.
Like, it just seems like something that would legit happen with this sort of serial killer. And then Jamie Lee Curtis is there knitting by herself while everybody else is getting laid.
She's knitting.
And then she gets strangled by the telephone.
With her boobs hanging out.
Right.
Hmm.
And she's literally listening to her friend get murdered on the phone. And she's like giving her shit for it.
I know. Annie, I'm trying to knit here. actually, she thinks it's the
she
other
thinks
one.
It's
she
Annie.
Thinks it's your
yeah,
girl Annie.
She doesn't know it's Linda.
And now we get the actually very iconic moment. In the history of this franchise is right now we get the first close-up shot of the
so creepy.
William Shatner mask.
William yep. Shatner. Yeah, I was reading about this today. It was just like this movie was extremely cheap to make, and mm-hmm. they just went to like a dollar store and got the cheapest mask they could get and spray-painted it white. And made the eyes bigger. And was like, this is scary as fuck. This is our guy.
Yep. So, the name I was coming up with earlier that I forgot. It was Erwin Yablans, who's the guy who was part of Trankus. And then him and Mustafa Akkad went to John Carpenter and said, we want a movie about babysitters. And really, Michael Myers was, according to the early situation, Michael Myers was the secondary. Jamie Lee Curtis was really the star, and the movie was really supposed to be focused on her, which I guess for the most part is. But did you see that swank carpeting?
I know, right?
The parents had a nice little boudoir there, huh? Look at that, huh? All they needed was mirrors on the ceiling, and well, maybe Bob and Linda had the mirrors on the ceiling. You know? I still can't get over the fact that Laurie's trash father was going to sell this piece of shit to somebody. Seriously.
And I can't believe Loomis is just standing around.
Still just hanging out in the bushes.
In the bushes. Oh, maybe not. Maybe I've been in the wrong place all fucking night.
Yeah, really. Getting my rocks off, scaring yes. little fucking kids.
Yes. His trench coat just murders me for some reason.
It's iconic.
I love it.
Well, you'll see that trench coat through 1995, I think, which was, yeah, the last movie he's in. What were your thoughts on the middle? Like, you've seen all of them, obviously, right?
Yeah, I mean, the details are sketchy for some of them. But yeah, I've seen them all.
Did
and that's,
you...
that's part of the reason why I wanted to do this, is so that I could go back on some of these that I am not quite brushed up on and kind of relive them and go through them again.
Right. No, that's a great idea. I agree. And so many great I mean, look, you were with us on an episode of the Place Be podcast on the other on the Place Be Nation wrestling feed, and we talked about Killer Clowns from Outer Space. You know, completely different tone from this,
which will definitely be another show. Definitely.
Love that movie. It has to be. Has to be.
Maybe even the next one. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, I think many would look forward to it. It'd be a good change of pace from Michael Myers, the voyeurist pervert.
Right. There's no
exposed
there's
to
no...
tonight.
Right, there's not enough gore in this movie, I will say, for my taste. Like, as much as I enjoy the simplicity of it, like, part of me is just like, where's the gross and the nasty and the dumb shit that I like, which is Killer Clowns.
Fair enough. Oh, fair enough. Well, that's what I think. Well, that's what happened when he made Halloween 2. Mm-hmm. After Tom Savini and the first Friday, they realized, and I think Irwin Yablons and Mustafa Kahn then went to Carpenter and said, you're going to have to add a little guts in the second one, which he did. I mean, remember the girl, the woman gets her face burned by the sauna, and then the guy gets a hammer in his skull, and we get a bunch of various more, shall we say, dramatic murders in the second one. So here's where the real turning point of the film now.
Right.
Laurie goes across the street to find out what the fuck's going on. Where are all these, you know, where is everybody? And meanwhile, there's been some, you know.
That pumpkin is really off-putting to me because I don't know about you, but when I go to pick out a pumpkin at Halloween, like, I have a specific look in mind. And the squashed, like, oblong pumpkin is not it. Like, I like a tall one, you know?
So it looks creepy.
It does. It's just that shape on the porch there. It just looks so off-putting to me. Like, that doesn't look quite right at all.
I agree. What about the pumpkin? I guess we can call it the fuck pumpkin that was upstairs.
See, that's a little bit closer.
A little better.
Yeah, a little bit closer to to my idea. The fuck pumpkin.
The fuck pumpkin. Gotta have one of those every
year. That's
gotta
have a great band name.
It is, right? We should talk to our man Todd Weber about that.
Oh, shit.
If we're gonna get the fuck pumpkin going. Wanna be the lead singer? I'll play keyboards.
I bet that's already a thing. It's gotta be.
It probably is. I should type in a witch.
Yeah, you should.
Todd's probably the lead singer.
But like, no, don't type in fuck pumpkin, because it'll probably give you like instructional videos on how to actually do that. Like, warm it up in the microwave and cut a hole in it.
Oh boy.
Don't ask me how I know that.
No, I'm not touching that at all. Mm-hmm. No way. No way. Nope. This live watch is already going down a path that's going to make the next 480 episodes you do so much better.
480, yeah.
You like that? Yeah, right. Yeah. I didn't think we were going to get there on the other show. So she's still creeping around the house. She's wondering what the hell's going on. Everything's dark. No one's around. Again, great music right now by Carpenter. You know what's funny? Well, it's funny we mentioned the music because, again, on the special features here, Carpenter said when he showed this, he wasn't done yet, and he had to show it to a bunch of I don't know if it was Fox or, you know, executives, movie executives. And he hadn't done the music yet. And he goes, this isn't scary. It's not scary at all. It's just it's a bunch of dark rooms and murders. Not scary.
Not even any blood. God damn it.
Yeah, I know. Where are the fucking intestines on the floor?
Oh.
Bob should have gotten it through the fucking glasses. That's
least.
What he should have done.
Or the dick. Either one.
Or the Yeah, because Michael Myers is very jealous that Bob's a jackhammer.
Exactly.
That's why.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, he wouldn't kill the other. Notice he didn't, you know, when he was little, he didn't kill the other guy. Because he's like,
you
I'm not impressed
go.
With you, pal. You got a pop gun right there. Whatever. Exactly. Go disappoint some more women in the next 50 years of your life. and now, you know, and now here's the big reveal. Laurie walks in the room and Annie is, your girl there, lying on the bed dead.
With a giant tombstone.
Of his mom. No, that's the sister.
The daughter, yeah, the sister.
What?
Because she was a big slut, just like Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hates sluts.
Somehow.
Now all of a sudden, here comes Bob.
How did
no
he
glasses.
Rig Bob up to just fall like that? I don't know.
I know, right?
And then this shit.
Like, how did she get? Like, what did? How did he put her in there?
I don't know.
What is that anyway?
All of a sudden, he starts posing people just to make it like a fun house of corpses.
I know, right?
And she just immediately breaks down. Like, she's just
now this.
Yes, this part with his face in the shadow. Yeah, that's awesome. How does he miss though? That makes me insane.
Do you think he missed on purpose?
He had to.
No, probably not. He probably meant to put her in the back. Yeah.
I mean, and she falls down the staircase and then gets the fuck up. Why? How does that happen?
How does she not be able to open the door either?
Yeah.
Well, I guess she can lock from the inside.
This is when all
lack of common sense when you're about to get killed.
All of the tropes start coming in. Why does this door not open? Makes no
sense. He put the rake there. Now, this is badass. You got to give Laurie credit for this.
Yeah,
this is badass, what she's about to do.
But she waits so long. Like, he gets through the wood door before she even gets through the glass door. That makes no sense.
I know, really. She must not realize that the rake's there. But he opens the door, and
then
she's like...
she breaks the glass. Yeah, with her bare hand, which is cool. But, like, you should have thought of that 15 seconds ago.
How big is that kitchen, though? Like, shouldn't he have already been there?
Right.
But that's time, I guess.
Yeah.
So here she is.
And she gets all the way out of the house and around before he even shows up. And then she falls down inexplicably. Why? Why are you falling down?
Well, she broke her ankle.
She did?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Okay.
She broke her ankle. Okay. That's why she goes to the hospital in the second one.
Oh, okay.
There you go. See, you learn some. Oh, that's who would sit in that chair? That's a random chair. Yeah, I would close the blinds too. I'd be embarrassed that your door's green.
Nobody's gonna help her. That's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
What
She's
is
like the nice
wrong
one.
With people,
we only help sluts. And they realize, you know, but they're already dead, so we're not
You're
helping
a virgin,
the nice one.
Fuck you. Good luck. And then she wants to go back into the house.
No, this is the house she just left.
Okay.
This is where the kids
are. Gotcha. Across the street, where the kids are.
Yeah, seriously, Jenny, where was he? He was literally like 3 feet
right
away from
there,
her.
And then now he's finally coming out of the house.
Why don't you put your hand through that window like you put your hand through the other window?
Open the door, Tommy, you motherfucker.
Fucking little dork. I know you and Lindsay were having some experimental fun there. Whatever
Y'all
you were doing,
playing doctor up there.
Oh no, he wasn't. He's probably like, "I've never done this before," and she's probably like, "I know all the rules. I have a cooler babysitter than you."
And she's just like, get some like authority in her voice. She's like, "Do as I say. Get your ass upstairs and lock the door." And then the phone doesn't work. The lights go out.
Trope.
Yep. Which you can't call a trope at this point, really, but will become a trope.
Yep, that's true. So that must, you know, when I was little, I didn't know what the fuck that was. That must have been a door. Why would there be a door in the back of the living room?
That is weird. And then why does she huddle on the couch? Like, why not run?
And he misses again.
But she stabs him through the neck, which is awesome.
This is great. I love this ball right here. Neck. Watch. Pop. Drop. It's like so funny. Pop. It is. Drop.
And she's like, okay, I just murdered this guy with a crocheting needle.
See, being a nerd has its advantages. Mm-hmm. What was Annie going to kill him with? A fucking vibrator? You know, whack him with Superman 5000?
With that blanket she had, just smother him to death?
She's going to choke her with her panties. You know? Oh, my God. So but now she pulls the knife.
See, like, this is legit. Like, I would think if I stabbed somebody in the neck with a crochet needle, they're definitely dead. So, like, you believe her when she collapsed on the couch and the tension has gone out of the scene, right? And you're like, okay, like, he got murdered with a crochet needle. But sure,
I know. We'll kind of insane.
And here's this cop showing up.
Sheriff, I found him.
With his Ghostbusters-looking Ghostbusters-looking patrol car.
You like that? You like those glasses? 1978 police cars. And in the Midwest. It's not even like the NYPD. I'm sure that's what cop cars look like in the South in the late 70s.
For sure. I think that probably Dukes of Hazzard is more what the cop cars look like.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Dodge Charger. I could see you driving the General Lee.
Oh.
That would be pretty bad.
Come on now.
Absolutely. I could see you sliding in and out of the door.
Bo and Luke Duke.
Yep.
Related to Nick Duke. All right.
Oh, yes. See, Nick Duke. See, Nick would not be like Bob. See, Nick would be like, dude, I got beers. I don't have time for this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, he would be drinking and fornicating, so he would definitely be gone, like, in the first half hour of any horror movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then at this point, you're like, okay, shit. He didn't die from the... How? How did he not die from that?
I know.
I don't understand.
Now she goes in the bedroom closet.
Lashes it together with a belt or something, which is pretty smart on her part.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Do
you think William Shatner was upset that the hair on his mask like looked like a matted poodle? Like the worst mask hair.
From what I read today, he was honored and kind of flattered by his likeness in this movie, which I think is pretty cool for him.
I think it's cool as well.
Yeah.
Well, a year later was Star Trek the Motion Picture, so he made it back to the screen. But his likeness made it for you. So this is actually a very iconic scene, which would be mimicked. There actually wouldn't be a mimic. It would be an inside joke in H2O.
Mm-hmm.
She does the same thing. She walks. She's being chased by him in that, and she walks by a closet, and she goes, shit. And then she keeps walking. So.
And then the wire coat hangers in this scene just trip me out. Like, here's a convenient weapon. And then her mind just comes up with, let me unhook this thing and stab it in his face. And somehow get him. I don't get it.
I know. And he drops the knife and then he's dead again.
Yeah. And then she picks up the knife.
Oh, no. She does this.
Ugh. Stabbing motion forward. How is
that's
he not
actually pretty
dead
impressive.
Now? It is. It really is. And it's terrifying.
Yep. Yep. And so...
Because I would never think to do that, right? I would never think, like, in that state of mind to, like, unravel a wire coat hanger and stab it in his face. Like, I would
just
right? be dead in the closet.
Well, I think, again, point of the movie. The sluts are dumb and have no resourceful skills, and the tempered virgin with the nice butt, apparently.
She does have a nice butt. It's true.
Yeah. Is like the Girl Scout. Look at that lush carpet. Man, late 70s bedroom. Look at that.
But she doesn't even check him to make sure that he's dead, even though he's already fooled her one time.
stabbed him twice.
Mm-hmm. Why are you not checking his dead body at this point? Or, like, just taking the knife and just stabbing him in the chest repeatedly. Like, that's what I would be doing.
Yeah.
But she is being a good babysitter. She's going to the children. She's like, go away from the house. Go tell somebody. Bring help.
Now you run in your pajamas.
So I guess that is sort of responsible of her. But at this point, you expect him to sit up, and he does. And that's creepy as fuck.
So she obviously didn't stab him too deep.
Not too deep, no.
If he got up after, like, a minute or so.
Right. Loomis knows what's up automatically.
Finally, dumbass.
Yeah.
Been hiding in the bushes for 5 hours while the sluts are getting killed. Shut up, I don't care about the whores. And here's our...
How does she not hear him? I don't get it.
I know. He is amazing.
He is amazing. I love the shadows in this scene.
You know, the shadow just kind of rushes out and...
Now he's just going to try to choke her to death.
Choke her to death.
And then you get the male coming to rescue the female, as it should be. You get to see his face without the mask and the gunshots.
Yep.
Little bit of blood on her hand. Not much.
A little bit. Not much from the badass thing she did.
He got shot and is still standing there. Shot 3 times, 4 times, and falls out the window. Is he dead?
He must be.
You think so?
Point blank. I mean, he shot him from 3 feet away.
A couple times.
He emptied the gun. 6 bullets. And here's the big question. Was that the boogeyman? And Donald Pleasance goes, as a matter of fact, it was. How dramatic.
As if that explains everything.
I know, right? As a matter of fact, it was an imaginary guy.
It was the boogeyman. Good day to you, ma'am. See you later.
And he's gone.
And then he's gone. Amazing. The look
Unreal.
On his face. So good.
It is so good. I think of all the casting decisions, Donald Pleasance was the most important. Again, the experienced guy gave the foundation to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And he was tremendous. He was, you know, taking pleasure out of scaring kids in the bushes.
Well, I mean, with as little as he actually did, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So now we have a quick montage of all of the rooms, I guess in both houses, I guess. And, where there was murders and other. And
Fornication
and creepy, nudity. And
creepy jack-o'-lanterns. And
creepy jack-o'-lanterns. Fuck pumpkins. and there's the title. Our title. And there we go.
Did you ever dress as Michael Myers for Halloween?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, I did. I did. I have a Michael Myers mask in my closet. Probably shouldn't say that.
I was going to say,
oh, too late now. Imagine looking out the window. Hon, why is that guy? Oh, shit. It's him. It's Michael Myers. No, it's that guy I do the podcast with. I want to do the fog now. Now, see, in the credits, he's the Shape.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even call him Michael Myers.
That's
they call
right.
him the Shape.
The Shape.
Now, there's in the credits you saw, Michael Myers, age 23, and that was the guy whose face you saw. But three people, apparently, according to the special features, a bunch of people dressed like Michael Myers in this movie. For wide shots and still shots and all sorts of stuff. So, very interesting. Including Deborah Hill, apparently she dressed as him too.
Hmm.
So what do you think?
It's a classic for a reason. It's simple. It's scary. It's iconic. It's fantastic. I mean, you just can't go wrong with this movie. And for some people who don't like scary movies, I think it's pretty mild as far as scary movies go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that even somebody that is not into the blood or the guts, or you don't get that here. You get the vibe and you get the scariness, but it's not going to, you know, give you nightmares. Probably not, unless you're super young. But
right.
What about you? What do you think?
It's a very easy watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I think we've been on. And I got to be honest. I feel like it flew. First of all, I've had a blast. I've had a blast watching it with you.
Oh, yeah.
And, but I feel like it's gone so fast. You know, it's definitely an easy watch.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you grew up – let's put it this way, Jenny. If you grew up, like you said, watching stuff like Nightmare and watching Friday the 13th and Prom Night and Fright Night and, you know, Happy Birthday to Me and, you know, all those, which is just gore up like crazy. Or if you're a newer fan and you're watching Scream or Blair Witch,
mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that, or even something like Hostel, which is ridiculously gross. And then you watch this, you're like, oh, this sucks. because Michael Myers did disembowel her in the car.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, or something like that. But the fact that this could be arguably the greatest horror movie ever made, and all the only blood you saw was kind of in between the reeds and the bushes of the auto mechanic that got killed. Yet the music and the camera angles and the lighting and mm-hmm. things were dark and not dark. And the fact that this guy could literally hide in plain sight.
Right. And he was relentless.
Yeah.
Even when you thought you killed him, he was still not dead.
Right. And then he'd be everywhere, walking in the mm-hmm. sidewalk. Oh, he's in this shrub, and the fucking car drives by again. And it's – John Carpenter just knew how to make a great movie, a scary movie at a good time in the history of horror movies and cinema. Again, gore and guts and stuff was around before this. Again, for those that obviously that are listening or horror fans, if you have Shudder, you can go back and there's a boatload of Italian and German movies from the 60s, Dario Argento and those other guys that made a lot of disgusting, gross. Like there's one horror movie where a bed eats people and, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. And I mean, but there's like limbs. We didn't see heads or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there was gore and guts before this movie was made. But for some reason, I feel like this was the movie that ushered in the new era of horror cinema from this point forward.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the killer you can't figure out. Like that's the one difference that I think that I like slightly better than Freddy and Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Freddy and Jason, you know their backstories. Jason was, a mentally challenged kid who drowned because the counselors were, you know, boning each other, and then the mother killed them all, and another sex death.
Apparently. Right.
Plenty of fuck pumpkins at Crystal Lake. and then Freddy was a child molester who got burned alive in a fire and became, you know, was out for revenge on the families that killed him. So there were backstories there. With Michael Myers, he's just the shape.
He's just –
you don't know why.
Evil, man.
Yeah, you don't know why. Mm-hmm. And that for me, hooks me as to why – I mean, I love all three. I have all three box sets. I have Freddy. I have Jason. I have Michael. I love them all. But if you gave me 1 through 3, Michael would be number one on my list.
Wow.
Just because of the mystery of why he is what he is. And mm-hmm. Carpenter and the directors that followed him – went with that story and that backstory. That's why Rob Zombie's version annoys me. The movie itself actually doesn't bother me. The one that Rob Zombie did, other than the fact that he gave Michael Myers an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I have no problem with his version of Halloween in general. I thought the cameras were good there. The music, the deaths were good. I had no issues. His Halloween 2, I could not get through. 20 minutes in, I turned it off. I hated it. It sucked. I hated it. That's another topic for another day. But that's for me the mystery of Michael Myers always intrigued me more a little more just by a scooch than Jason and Freddy. But Jason had the arrogance of a great murderer, and Freddy, of course, had the humor,
right,
and the sarcasm, the black comedy of a great murderer.
I think that's why I like him probably the most. I like his.
No, there's no doubt.
Yeah, his style.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing from you is that you're gonna want to watch Halloween 2 with me when we get there.
I'd love to watch Halloween 2 with you. All right. Absolutely.
All right. So let's tell everybody where you can be found on social media.
Oh, of course. Well, of course, you can find me at Scott Criscolo on Twitter and on Facebook. Of course, you can. I'm all over Place to Be Nation. And, of course, you can see my you can hear my podcast, Place to Be Podcast, with my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, who I don't think has maybe never watched a horror movie in his life, I don't think.
Probably not.
But he's starting to read comic books, so maybe we're broadening his horizons. Who knows?
Maybe so.
And, of course, Place to Be Nation's main event. And I don't believe I've ever been on was I on Talkin' Pop with you? I don't believe I
have. No, you have not been on Talkin' Pop yet.
I've not been on Talkin' Pop. No. I would one day like to join you and find Mr. Capel if I for any topic. I'm good with anything. Doesn't matter if it's horror movies. It could be anything.
Let me ask you this. Are you one of the 90210 bros? 90210 bros?
Of course I am. What are you kidding me?
Well,
I was a deep guy.
Yeah. I'll just say that there might be a spot for you there.
I'd be honored.
That might be a thing.
I'd be honored.
All right. All right. Well, I am at Jenny Cruz 2814. And thank you guys for listening to the debut episode of Freak Out Drive-In. We appreciate it. And we will see you next time.